study tonight is a message to prepare us for what we're going to probably be looking at over the next few weeks. And that is more in the, I would say, in the subject, the context of apologetics. We're going to be talking about how to respond to some good, very good questions you'll hear out there, and things that I think we need to be able to know, all of us, not just perhaps the pastor or the Sunday school teacher, but all of the members of our church and Christians in general should be ready to answer. And I'll hand those out before we dismiss tonight for prayer. I'll hand these out, and basically what I'm just going to send them home with you. I want you to look over them. Go ahead and write out some answers. It's kind of like a homework assignment, if you will. I hope you don't get overwhelmed with it. Maybe you'll just answer one or two of them, but I do ask you to do that, and I'll hand those out here in just a little bit. But let's look at our handout tonight. Have we prayed yet? All right, let's pray, okay? Father, I am thankful for your goodness tonight. We love you because you first loved us. You set a perfect example. And Lord, I'm thankful for the brethren tonight as we gather around your word. I pray that our hearts would be tender and receptive to the precious word of God. And Lord, receptive to the work of your spirit as we want to grow in our sharing Jesus without fear. Lord, help us in this and guide us and strengthen this local church for your glory, I do pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We see there in the paragraph that I've written, the title is, of course, Are We Ready? Let's read our passage. 1 Peter chapter 3, I'll read verses 14 and 15. The Bible says, But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I want to talk about tonight the importance of being ready to respond. We've talked about ways to respond. We've talked about verses. We've talked about the different things, the way the questions we can ask. But this is just the spirit of our response. And it's just as much important. It's just as important as the content of our response is the actually disposition that we share to those that are inquiring about the gospel or questioning the gospel or objecting to the gospel. We need, as God's people, we need to be ready. So first of all, your first one there is that we need, in order to be ready to share the gospel effectively, we need to be holy. That's your first two blanks there. Be holy. That word sanctify in verse 15 means exactly what holy means. It means to be set apart. And specifically, this is saying that we need to set the Lord apart in our hearts. We need to set Him and let Him have a certain kind of place in our hearts. What kind of place is that? Well, letter A there is Jesus must have first place. If we're going to be effective in our demeanor and our disposition and the way we respond in the right spirit, Jesus Christ has to be first in our life. He has to have the preeminence, as Colossians 1:18 says there. He must have first place. I tell you, if you in this thing of the gospel ministry as God's people, if the Lord Jesus doesn't have first place, we're not, number one, going to have the desire to share the gospel. And number two, when we do share the gospel, it will not be in the right spirit. It will either be in a spirit of fear, it'll be a spirit of anger. You can go down the line. We do not want that to be our spirit. We want to be holy and have Jesus first place in our life. And not only that, but being holy and being having Him set apart in our hearts. Look at there at the second letter, letter B. Jesus must be our focus. So not only is He first place, but He is the center. Everything we do revolves around our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's that verse there in Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. So when I'm living my life for the Lord and I'm going to respond, everything that I'm going to respond is going to be around Jesus. I'm not ashamed of being a Baptist. I'm not. But I want to tell you right now, when it comes to sharing the gospel, I'm not waving the Baptist flag. That can come down a little later. I can explain to people very clearly why I'm a Baptist. But the flag I'm raising is the flag, the banner of righteousness. His name is Jesus. He's the one. Everything I say, everything I believe will come from Him, will be based upon Him and Him alone. And friends, I want to tell you, you can't go wrong there. There's great boldness there when you know that Jesus is the focal point. It's not a denomination. It's not this and that and that view and this view and on down the line, because we know those things become a distraction. So we want the Lord to be set apart in our hearts, and therefore we know that we're going to be holy if He is there and He is set apart as first place. But then number two, we need to be ready. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there because that's where we have been focusing. Can somebody read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12? That verse, and then with the focus on the latter part of that verse 12, and then somebody else read 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 through 3. Can somebody take Ephesians? Who would take Ephesians? Hunter, you got Ephesians, and who could take 1 Peter chapter 2 1 through 3? Okay, Miss Kathy, I saw your hand. All right, go ahead, Brother Hunter. This first one, I'll tell you the blank after he reads Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12. All right, so this first blank is being ready. This word is an awareness. Having an awareness that people are without hope and without God is super important for the believer. All right? So that blank there is awareness. Have an awareness that the folks around us are in darkness. Whether they admit it or not, they are. And being ready, I tell you, being ready, you better first of all be aware of your surroundings. And the people that you're around, the people you rub elbows with from day in, day out, whether it be school, workplace, and your neighborhood, just being aware of their spiritual condition. I can tell you just real briefly, I have to be careful, because you don't want to invade anyone's privacy for that matter. But I know that there are at least some in my neighborhood that I've had the opportunity to talk to that you can see very clearly where they stand or what they believe just by talking to them a little bit. Just for us to be aware of the people around us of what they believe is very important. But not only an awareness, but secondly, there needs to be a preparation. That's letter B, a preparation. Someone, Miss Kathy, if you would read that passage. Amen. So there should be a desire for God's people to make preparation to share His word. It concerns me in my own life when I kind of feel like I've arrived with God's word and understanding the gospel and understanding how to share my faith. And, that's all. We need to be careful. We need to guard against that. We need to always ask God to grow our desire for learning how to share the gospel and learning not only, but having a desire. That word there is Peter saying, it's an imperative. He's not making a suggestion. He's telling these believers to say, you need to desire the word of God that you might grow. And I want to grow. I really do. I want to grow in my preparation of sharing the gospel and in my awareness. I want to be ready. As we say in the Coast Guard, semper paratus, which simply means always ready or always prepared. And we as God's people need to be that way, don't we? When people start asking questions or when it comes to for us to be able to talk with them. But then thirdly, the third point here is that we need to be effective in sharing the gospel in the right spirit. We need to be humble. That's that. Yes, ma'am. B is be ready is the main point. Number two is be ready, and then awareness, and then preparation. Preparation, preparing ourselves, desiring the Word of God in such a way that we are growing in our understanding of it and our responsibility to obey it. That has to be there. Just asking God to renew that. Then the awareness. So number three is be humble. Now, looking back at our passage there, notice with me there at the end of verse number 15, please. It says, asking you a reason of the hope that is in you. It says, talking about, be ready to give an answer. But how should we respond? It says, that is in you with. What is the way that we should respond? It says, with meekness. Now notice this next adjective here. And fear. There needs to be a meekness in our, and there needs to be a type of fear in our hearts. Now listen, there seems to be a contradiction here. Now wait a minute, I thought the title of our study was sharing Jesus without fear. And now, Pastor, you're bringing us toward the end of this study, and now you're telling us we should have fear. Boy, we're confused. Well, let me try to explain it a little bit. I believe God gives us the answer here very clearly. Look at verse number 14. That same word that you see in 15 is the word fear there, is the word where we get phobia, phobos. That's the Greek word. Well, notice in verse 14, it's used again. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Now get this, and be not afraid. Same Greek word. Afraid of who? Or of what? Their terror. And what's interesting about this, and you study Greek, it helps things clear up in some ways. As you study that, that word is the same Greek word. It's phobos again, where we get our word phobia. So what is that saying? I'll tell you what it's saying. Be not afraid, or be not fearful of their fear tactics. The world tries to use fear tactics to intimidate Christians. You know, whether it's evolution or atheism or whatever the case may be, other religions. And in fact, they used it there. Nero was the one in the context that was causing great fear in this time. But you also had the Pharisees. And then, of course, in our day and age, you have Muslims and all over the world. We don't face it as much, but they use fear tactics. They try to scare people into believing. And so he's saying here, listen, don't be fearful in sharing Jesus and sharing the things that you have in your life. Neither be troubled. Don't be living that life. But what is he talking about in verse 15? I tell you what I believe he's talking about. I believe he's talking about have no confidence in the flesh. There needs to be a fear there. Can I put it this way? Another place I read it, there's a, and that's that first blank. There should be a self-distrust. A self-distrust. This spirit right here goes contrary to high-mindedness. Like, I have arrived and I know it all. And you come across where you are really sound prideful. And that is a turnoff when sharing the gospel. What's a turnoff, period, in any way? But especially when it comes to sharing the gospel, listen, we need to be in no confidence in the flesh, but total confidence in the Spirit. Can somebody read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5? And then I'll have somebody read Matthew 11, 29. Can somebody take 1 Corinthians chapter 2? Yes, Christian. Amen. Did you get that, church? I do believe that Paul definitely demonstrated those characteristics of fear and trembling, but I believe it was more directed toward the Lord in the sense that this is a sacred obligation. This is a sacred responsibility. And I have to be God dependent. I want to see the power of God. I don't want this to be of me, upon me. It's got to be God. And I believe that has got to be our spirit going into when it's sharing the gospel without fear, sharing Jesus without fear. There has got to be that type of fear that would honor the Lord. Come and saying, Lord, I can't do this, but Lord, you can. And then also that self-distrust, but then under be humble, there's that meek disposition. Can somebody read chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11? Yes, Mr. Ralph. You see, even our Savior gave us that example of being meek and lowly of heart. You know, Jesus wants us to be the same way. I mean, again, we have to imagine the context. It's hard for any of us. I don't know that any we can, but it's hard for us to relate to these people at this time under the persecution that they were experiencing because of their faith. Just awful circumstances. But think about this. A meek disposition is so important. What is meekness? What does that mean? How does one become meek? Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that stands out probably as one of the first characteristics of meekness is patience. God wants us to be patient with people. Now, you can understand these believers, because of the lost pagan world that they were living in and facing persecution from both Jews and Romans and different things of that nature, they faced a lot of opposition. But God here through His Word is saying, listen, be meek in your disposition. Be humble. I also read this definition of someone that is meek. Now, I thought it was great. And you talk about convicting. Oh, my. Just in life in general, but especially when we think about communicating the gospel. Listen to this. What is meek, being meek? Enduring injury with patience and without resentment. Wow. That's a tough one, isn't it, church? Enduring injury, offense, with patience and without resentment. In other words, maybe someone spits in your face. Maybe somebody just rears back and punches you straight in the nose. Or somebody gives you a very harsh criticism or just even scornful in their demeanor or in their speech in some way. But God's saying, look, you need to be meek. And they don't believe yet, if they reject what you're sharing with them, be meek. Don't be full of don't be resenting. Don't be full of resentment towards that individual, but be humble. And you know, that'll go a long ways in our spirit when it comes to sharing the gospel. And listen. Let's just take a lesson here. When it comes to sharing God's word and when it comes to living life, if we want to be effective in communicating the gospel, not just to a lost world, but can I just go ahead and make application to us believers here? Can I make application? This is going to be effective for any believer wanting to communicate the power of the gospel to each other. Because you remember, that's what we learned in Titus. Titus, that letter to Titus was basically, you tell those believers to live out the gospel in their lives. Live it out before the island of Crete. And believers, if we're going to be able to be effective in our communication of the gospel and for the hope that lies within us, we need to be holy, have Jesus set apart in our hearts. We need to be ready. And most definitely, we need to be humble. All right, let's pray together. Father, I do want to thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for what you're teaching us. And I pray that each of us would continue to grow in our responsibility. Lord, I don't know for sure here all the details, but Lord, I'm sure there were some testimonies over this past week since last Wednesday of opportunities people had to share the gospel. And I pray you'd bless their obedience. And then those, Lord, that did not get a chance, perhaps, Lord, I pray that you would give opportunity in the coming week and that we would all take personal responsibility. But Lord, when we talk, please help us to be holy, help us to be ready, and Lord, help us to be humble. We can't do it without you, and we look to you and you alone to live through us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.